Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's ASOS Period One Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 12th of January, 2017. I would now like to hand over the conference to your first speaker today, Nick Beighton. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on what the press are calling Super Thursday. So we're going to go through the period one update for our trading statement for the 4 months to the 31st of December. As usual, joining me on the call from ASOS are Helen and Greg. And I'm aware it's a very busy day, as I said earlier, so we'll try and keep this as quick as we possibly can for you. Right, I'm going to give a high-level overview of our performance, and then Helen will follow up with some more detailed guidance, and then we'll hand over to Q&A. First of all, I'm pleased to say it was another strong performance for ASOS over the 4 months. We set ourselves up to capture the sterling weakness and grow our business faster, and we've achieved the fastest growth rate for 3 years in ASOS, which I'm pleased about. We predominantly did this through investing in our customer price, our customer proposition. The output of this investment is very clear in the results. I'm pleased with the growth rate in the US, the UK, and the rest of world territories, the latter showing how our customers, particularly in Australia and Russia, have reacted positively to our investment decisions. The period as a whole is, of course, another record for all our territories. The Cyber Week, the Black Friday week, is growing in importance and is becoming a critical trading event for ASOS and the ASOS customer. During that period, we see a greater share of spend in that week than we do now over the Christmas period. Correspondingly, I'm delighted that we grew our sales over that week by 45% year on year. And during the peak hour on Black Friday, we handled 33 orders per second through our tech platforms. And of course, mobile traffic dominated. For the period as a whole, mobile traffic was 68% of the mix, and even higher in the UK. The performance during this period was underpinned also by very strong operational performance, giving a great customer experience through our technology, through our delivery solutions, and through our customer care. Over the Christmas and New Year period, and please note our Christmas cutoff was the latest it's ever been, and so ordering by the 23rd of December for deliveries for customers, we achieved a customer satisfaction of on-time delivery of 99.9%, which means during that week we only failed to deliver 92 orders on time. Something that has been unheard of before at ASOS, and I'm delighted with that. And that's a result of many years of investment in our infrastructure, in our capability, and having our teams focused on customer experience. In terms of geography, the UK was a solid performance. We penciled in slightly higher, but 18% growth I was very happy with in what turned out to be a very promotional market. And we're expecting broadly similar growth rates for the rest of the year from the UK. Our customer reinvestment strategy is really paying off, as you can see, and we've grown market share. Some of the KPIs that emphasize this, active customer growth up 25%, strong improvement in order frequency of 6% for the group, and our order growth is running at 35% year on year. Clearly, I don't expect us to keep growing at this rate forever, hence the reiteration of our medium-term guidance this morning. But as a consequence of growing faster and our confidence in the foreseeable future, we're further increasing our investment in our business. And I'm pleased to say that's going into capacity, throughput handling, and bringing forward some of the Eurohub mechanization. Also investing in greater customer care capacity, and I'm now expecting to commence investment in our US warehouse during this financial year. I'll give more guidance of where, how, who with when I see you at H1 update. So that's all I want to say for now. I'll now pass over to Helen to go through some more detailed guidance and some of the flavours behind the performance. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nick. Good morning, everyone. So turning to the sales performance by geography in a little more detail. In the UK, we saw solid growth of 18% against a really strong comp of plus 25, as always aided by the strength of our product proposition and engaging content. Sportswear and sneaker brands have been particularly strong. As you know, we will continue to strengthen our offer here still further as the year progresses. In our international business, we're really starting to see the benefits of reinvesting both the FX tailwind and the US import duty benefits, with sales up 52% in sterling terms and by 41% on a constant currency basis. Within international, in both the EU and the US segments, we've seen the strong growth we saw last year continue, with constant currency growth of 38% and 42% respectively during the period. This performance has been underpinned by investments made in both price and proposition last year, which have yet to annualise, coupled with further incremental investments we've made in the year to date. Finally, I think the rest of the world deserves a special mention, and as we've seen a notable strengthening of our performance here, with sales ahead by 46% in sterling terms and by 44% on a constant currency basis. The weakening of sterling is certainly supporting this performance. However, we've augmented this with tactical price investment in specific countries, alongside implementing numerous notable delivery improvements, including free returns in Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, and a very significant increase in the level of track deliveries. Russia is now our standout performer for us from a growth perspective. So turning to the retail gross margin, this was down 30 basis points as we anticipated. FX tailwind that we've seen as a result of the sterling weakness has enabled us to double down and invest harder into price in the US, Australia, and a small number of other rest of world territories. We've worked hard to continue to improve our full price mix across the group, and this partially offset the impact of a more promotional environment in the UK that Nick's mentioned, margin investment into our A-list loyalty program also in the UK, and a further shift in mix towards third-party brands. The third-party branded mix increased to 60% during the period, driven by the strong performance of sportswear brands that I mentioned earlier. So in terms of guidance, just to reiterate, our medium-term reported sales growth guidance remains unchanged at circa 20 to 25%. Following reinvestment of FX and US duty benefits largely into price and a subsequent acceleration in trade, I'm increasing guidance for FY17 reported sales growth to circa 25 to 30%. This includes an FX tailwind of circa 5%, which hasn't changed significantly in quantum since the beginning of the financial year when I made the original sales guidance. This is our best view at this point on the FX tailwind. However, I will update you if rates move more significantly. We remain confident of delivering current market consensus PBT expectations for the year of between £78 and £80 million. You will recall I pointed towards £78 million within my guidance at the beginning of the year. Capital expenditure is now expected to be in the £150 to £170 million range for the current financial year, as we've accelerated our plans to build capacity of our logistics in our logistics infrastructure, coupled with some supporting tech spend. Eurohub 2 Phase 1 remains on track to go live at the end of March, and we will now accelerate the mechanisation of this facility. We are also further investing into increased capacity in Barnsley, additional customer care capacity, as Nick mentioned, and acceleration of the US warehouse. We'll update you with more detail on this at the half-one results in April. We will release our half-one results this year on the 4th of April, as you know, and at this stage I don't see any reason why the half-one, half-two profit split should be materially different from the last year or two, i.e. approximately a one-third, two-third split. That's it from me. Thanks very much, operator. We can now take some questions, and then we'll come back for closing remarks following that.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, it's star and one if you wish to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Charlie Mersantz from Deutsche Bank. Charlie, please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. Congratulations. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. You all right?
Yeah, very well. Surviving.
Good.
My question is, related to that acceleration in investment in the year ahead. Obviously, you've talked about the capital side of things, but more explicitly. But in terms of the reasons for raising revenue guidance and not raising absolute profits. Can you talk a bit more specifically about where in the P&L side of things planning on investing faster than your original budget?
Yeah. So you know the gig here, Charlie. That every extra pound we can get from increasing sales, we will be reinvesting back into the business. So we'll continue wherever we can to invest on price and proposition. And really, the lines that you'll see move in the P&L will be the normal ones, which will be the distribution cost lines, particularly a little bit in gross margin, a bit into the warehousing line as well.
Great. And you gave the third-party brand mix at 60% this year. Can you just remind me what it was for the same period last year?
It's moved by about 4 percentage points, actually. So that's because over the period we've seen massive uptick in the brand performance, particularly in sportswear brands and activewear brands. And that's before we started really dialing that this year. So that gives me a lot of confidence in where our customers will respond to our future expansion in sports and activewear.
Understood. And one final brief one. Given the strong sales performance and I guess lower inventories, do you think that puts a bit of a break on sales for January-February period? Or can you kind of chase in inventory early enough to maintain the sales momentum?
So you asked me, someone asked me this question all the time. I'm really happy with the inventory levels. Our trading strength over the last 2 years has been to increase our velocity of new product, reduce our buy, getting a faster stock turn and a better full price margin, and taking the margin benefits back into a lower price for all our customers, and taking the benefit from that and investing in a proposition. We'll continue to do just that, Charlie. So I don't think there's any break at all in it. This is our continuation of the things I've been talking to you about for the last 2 years going into the balance of the year.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Anne Critchlow. Anne, please ask your question.
Thanks. Hi, good morning. My questions are about, first of all, the returns rate. How did that trend in P1 and also year on year? And then about rest of world. I'm just wondering if the growth was mainly driven by a few countries, so Australia free returns, Russia you mentioned, or whether it was very well balanced.
Yeah. So the returns rate actually that we've seen in the period year on year has been good. I mean, we've seen increased by about 40 bits. A bit of a mix of two halves. Obviously, with all the free returns that we've been putting into the international business, we've seen those increase. But we've actually seen, you know, really good performance, particularly in the UK, where we've seen the returns rate improve quite significantly, actually. So overall, really pleased with only 40 bits move in returns, a bit split between UK and international. But I think the UK is a testament to all the great work we're doing on making sure that we, you know, drive that returns rate down. From a rest of the world perspective, Australia, we've seen great growth across the patch, but Australia and Russia are the two. You know, we've seen them really reignite, and Russia's a standout performer for us. It's doing amazingly.
And in those two territories that Helen's mentioned, Anne, in deliveries, we've taken deliveries down in Russia from something like 28 days to 7 days and invested high single digit in price. In Australia, we've done something similar on price, and we've given our Australian customers the benefit of free returns that we haven't done before, and they've responded accordingly, which we are delighted to say those things about those two territories.
Great, thank you.
Great,
thank
thanks.
You. And your next question comes from the line of Andrea Ferres. Andrea, please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Two questions from me, please. Could you give us, and sorry if you did this before, but there was a long queue to join the call, but could you give us a little bit more color of what the KPIs look like for the UK specifically? And my second question is, I mean, very strong growth internationally, obviously. You just talked about Australia being very strong with free returns, investment in pricing, and I believe there's about to be an increase in duty into the country, how do we think about long-term margins as some of these as some of the growth is increasingly coming from these regions? Thanks.
Okay, so I'll do Australia first of all. In Australia, it's rumoured, it's spoken that there's going to be a sales tax increase in July. We haven't seen any details of how the implementation of that's going to come through yet. We've got that in our mind. Our strategy on that was build a bigger business in Australia, a more resilient business for our customers in Australia, and then we've got a choice to either soak up that GST or pass that GST onto our customers. We haven't decided which way we'll go on that yet, because actually the clarity of how that's going to be implemented by the Australian government hasn't yet come through. So we're aware it's coming, and it's difficult to decide how we're going to respond to it until we see more clarity of how it's going to be implemented. So that's the piece on Australia. In terms of the KPIs in UK, rather than not disaggregating it this morning, we're going to do that when we see you at the half year. So disaggregating KPIs around performance and for the four-month period. It will mean more when we show you what it looks like at the half year. So hopefully that works for you, Andrea.
Okay, great. But can you sort of just give us a little bit of color in terms of, you know, actives and frequency? Has there been a deceleration there, or is that, or has that been sort of closer to what you were delivering last year?
There's been an acceleration in the UK on frequency. And that's great. And we had a decent conversion in spite of a much higher mobile mix in the UK.
Thanks.
That's enough colour, right?
That's enough. Thank you very much.
Good.
Okay, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Rebecca McClellan. Rebecca, please ask your question.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Rebecca.
Yes, good morning. Just a quick one on your pricing internationally. How do you feel you are positioned currently? Are you positioned very competitively, or are there any markets where you still feel you need to do some catch-up? And I suppose then, you know, the price investment that you're making, is it therefore proactive, or is it still sort of getting yourself aligned with what happened a couple of years ago?
So over the last quarter, or the last 4 months, I should say, that was mostly proactive investment, and I'm very happy with our pricing levels now around the world in our major geographies. Now, that doesn't mean we should ever take our eye off the ball of that, but right now I'm very happy with where we are on pricing. And so that enables us now to turn to lots more proposition investment. Helen reeled off a whole number of areas where we put proposition investment into those territories. So does that help you, Rebecca?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Claire Huss. Claire, please ask your question.
Yeah, morning guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for taking my questions. Thank you. Most of my questions have actually been asked already. I have two, please. The first one, just wondering if you could quickly comment on the performance of own brand versus third party and what the mix is there. And then the second one, just wondering what you're seeing in terms of third party sportswear. I think you've extended some of the ranges you've got from Nike and Adidas. So just anything you could comment there ahead of launching own brand, et cetera, later this year. Thank you.
Yeah, so the ASOS own brand performance has been brilliant. We've had another great year on all the ASOS brand. But the mix is now firmly in favour of third-party brands, and that's actually down to standout performance in some third-party brands, and some of that will be linked to the repricing we've done during the course of the last 6 months, and particularly the trend on sportswear and sneaker brands. So that mix change to third-party brands doesn't mean there's a poor performance in ASOS own brand at all. In terms of activewear and sportswear, we started seeing this dropping around December, as we talked about. predominantly around third-party brands, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Reebok, and Puma. That's now being expanded, and we're pleased to be buying more into that. And we're working really hard on bringing an ASOS-branded active and sportswear. So think ASOS Active, think ASOS Ski, ASOS Yoga, ASOS Run, ASOS Snowboard, ASOS Skate. All of those categories we'll start expanding into over the foreseeable future. And that's something that I think Helen and I were very excited when we saw you in October, so we're still excited by it.
Brilliant, thank you. Nick, are you going to or willing to disclose what the third party to own brand mix is, the percentage wise?
I think I said it earlier. It's the third-party branded mix in total is now moved to 60%.
60. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right. Cheers,
thank
Claire.
Thank you.
I think one more, guys. I know you've got a busy morning, so one or two more if it's burning. Who's next?
The next question comes from the line of Georgina Johannan. Georgina, please
ask
your question.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my question. I'll keep it super brief. I just wanted to check, given what we've seen from others, that there was no kind of calendar impact in there or anything. And apologies if I missed it earlier, but just in terms of how many days of sale period was included in the quarter year on year, if there's anything we should be aware of there, please.
Yes, I think the only difference really is that I think there were 2 days less on sale versus last year. And that was really because, you know, we were really in a good position from a stock perspective. We just didn't need to go early on sale. So, you know, we had 2 days less on sale.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's one
thank
now.
You.
Operator.
And your next question comes from the line of Simon Bowler. Simon, please ask your question.
Simon Bowler, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Just made it through there at the end then.
You did.
So I may as well make the most out of it and ask 3 questions, if that's all right. and again,
well,
apologies.
Why don't you give me your best one, and you can always ask Greg later the other two.
Don't make me pick. I'll ask all three, and you can decide which one's best.
All right, fine.
So first one, and again, you might have covered some of these earlier. Sorry, there was a queue getting onto the call. First one, just in terms of the regional performance, how did that actually compare to your expectations? You know, there's a bit of volatility here. Were you expecting the UK to slow as it did, or were you expecting the rest of the world to accelerate to the extent that it did? Second one is just regards to kind of the Euro hub, a bit more investment accelerated going into there. Does that change anything with regards to the timing of the actual transition into the warehouse? And then the final one is just the kind of first half, second half profit split. I remember when we kind of changed the year end to be as it is, that one of the things spoken about was it will make the profit split broadly 50-50 year on year, and that looks like that's not going to be the case. And I was just wondering, what is it that's changed that's made the kind of Christmas period less profitable and the summer period more profitable than had been expected at that point in time?
Okay, I'll do you a favour and answer all three. So, in my wisdom, when I decided to change the accounting period to do 50-50, that was the case. And then something called Black Friday picked up, and the cyber events in autumn winter changed the shape of the profit profile. And so, the profit profile for the last 2 or 3 years has been broadly 1/3, 2/3, first half, second half. So don't worry, I'm not going to change the accounting period again. So that is just the profile that's now changed, driven by customer behavior and events and the growing importance of the cyber event in autumn winter. In terms of Eurohub, what we've done here is we've accelerated mechanization automation that was going to be in a later phase earlier to give us faster, better throughput. It doesn't change, regrettably, the end point of the phase two shell. It just means the phase one shell, which is about 400,000 square feet, which is built, has now got a high level of automation and mechanization in it. So I'm pleased about that. And the first question you asked is, we penciled in slightly more for the UK, 1 or 2 percentage points. And so it was slightly behind where we were expecting. But equally, neither am I uptight about 18% growth in the UK. On the flip side was, we were absolutely delighted with the rest of world performance, and that was far greater than we anticipated. US was about where we were planning, and Europe was slightly ahead of where we were planning. So the organisation is rotated on an axis where UK was slightly behind what we'd penciled in, but actually it beat our expectations in two of the other major territories. Does that help?
Yep, very much so. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Right, concluding remarks. Business in a great position. We're in a growing channel. The acceleration in online appears to be clear. My view on that is being driven by the growing social media and mobile shift. We're investing bravely to capture that potential, which I'm super happy about. And we're building out our capability and backing it with investment, which will give us traction again into the future. As always, there's something that's going to be uncertain when you've got a global business, particularly with the environment that we're now operating in. But I'm very happy that we're navigating ourselves and we've got a growing inbuilt resilience to soak up what comes our way. So thank you for participating in the call. Greg and Helen are around later for any other calls. Thanks very much. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you. Thanks, operator.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.